Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by your participating local Nissan dealers.
1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Don, are you there?
Right here, Phil.
Tell me about your friend Jerry, if you wouldn't mind. I think the audience is going to find this an interesting story. Go ahead.
Basically, my friend Jerry Coelho owed me $1,000. And I do expect his family to pay that money back.
Now, this gentleman, Jerry Coelho, was KIA near Baghdad with the United States Army. That's killed in action?
Yes, sir.
When did that happen?
Yes, sir. We got word in June that he was with the U.S. Army in near Baghdad in action, was killed in action there. And he was a...
Tell me about this guy.
Well, I was going to say he was sort of a surrogate father to his two younger sisters. He'd been working toward his degree in business when he decided to enlist about a year and a half ago. And I loved him very much. He was a good friend of mine, even though I was against what he was doing.
When you say against what he was doing, was that serving in the U.S. Army in the war?
Yes, sir. Going to war in Iraq for illegal reasons.
And he borrowed $1,000 from you and obviously did not pay it back?
Well, he used to kid me about my... I took part in a march in Hollywood last year, and he used to send me emails from over there. I was wrong. What worries me is, I guess, that he went to his death not really knowing that what he was doing was wrong. And I think it's a story like that that needs to be told.
And he was a longtime friend of yours?
Well, we met in school. We were both attending Cal State LA.
What were you guys taking?
He was taking business, as I said, and I was involved in a chemical engineering program they had there, an undergraduate.
So he put his education on hold to enlist in the Army, huh? Even though he had the two younger sisters to take care of?
Well, he did that because he felt he could make an income, an immediate income with the military. Because between school and work, he wasn't able to always make his monthly bills.
And so that comes to the point where you lent him this money, right?
Well, yes, I did. I lent him $1,000 before he went over.
Now, when you say he's taking care of two younger sisters, he was of age, right?
Oh, yes. He was his two younger sisters, and he, his parents split up, and neither they haven't seen either one of these people in a couple of years. So he was pretty much the sole support of his two younger sisters, and he left behind a family. He also had his sisters, his aunt is where the girls are living now, in Pasadena, and we're trying to help the girls, but for my part, the money he owed me, I've tried to work with the girls on how they can pay me back, so it's not like I'm trying to make anything tougher on them.
All right. Now, the girls are in school, right? These two younger sisters?
They're in school, yeah.
And what grade are they in?
They're both seniors in high school, and they're living with Jerry's aunt in Pasadena. And
and have you told them that Jerry owes you $1,000? I mean, the man was killed in action near Baghdad, you say, with the U.S. Army in June?
Yes, sir.
And so he this money that he owes you, you've talked to the younger sisters about this?
Well, yes, sir. I've said to them, but please understand, I told them that we could work out a payment plan on how they can pay back the money that Jerry owes me.
And now, there's a reason that you're asking for these girls to pay this money back. Because when you talk about the money that he owes you, aren't these girls, they're in high school, they lost their brother... Obviously, a very close family. You could forgive this debt, obviously, this $1,000 debt.
Well, I would like to do that, Phil. I really would, and I'm glad you brought that up. But I'm against this war in Iraq, and I told Jerry that, and that his joining the military had made him kind of a part of it. So it would be against my conscience to forgive the $1,000 given his stance on the war in Iraq, but I can allow the girls, as I said, to make some monthly payments. I've worked out a payment plan, about $100 a month with minimal interest, about 5% interest.
This seems like a tough thing. They've lost a brother who was like a father, you say like a surrogate father to them, who supported them, you know, and then to have them pay back this debt?
I totally agree. But, again, I don't know if you heard me, but I was against the war in Iraq.
I understand that.
But this puts those of us in the anti-war movement in a very awkward position. His sisters and Jerry, too, supported the war, and somehow you have to hold these people accountable. And it tears me apart. It tears me apart because Jerry was a good friend.
Okay, we're talking here with Don Parsley. His friend was killed in action in Iraq. Before he went over, you lent this man $1,000. Obviously, his dying in action in Iraq made it impossible for him to pay the debt back. But you are holding his younger sisters to paying this debt back because technically, being against the war in Iraq makes them wrong and they have to be held accountable. Am I getting that correct, sir?
I want you to please understand, Mr. Henry, that I love Jerry like a brother and I love his family. And I've worked out a payment plan for them. But you're trying to say that maybe they don't owe it to me? Or
well, I'm just saying you could forgive the debt, given the tragedy the family's been through. Given that
that would be against the conscience of my conscience, being against the war and everything, like most people are.
All right, here's our number on the Phil Henry Show. If you just joined us, this gentleman is Don Parsley, his friend Jerry Coelho, KIA in Iraq, and apparently there is a debt between Jerry and Mr. Parsley of $1,000. You would like his younger sisters, correct?
Yes, sir.
To pay that debt back, because in good conscience you can't let it slide since they were in favor of the war and you're against it.
That's it, true. And also, I think it'll teach the girls a lesson about, you know, standing up for the wrong things in life. I mean, you have to stand for what's right, not what's wrong.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, the number here on the Phil Henry Show as we get into this dilemma, if you will, a moral dilemma of holding a family accountable for a debt. Now, I'm not going to blame you for anything, Mr. Parsley, but these girls, you say that they're in favor of the war in Iraq?
They were all in favor of it before Jerry went over. Everybody talked about it, and we would sit around and talk about it. And
you had discussions about this as friends?
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, we did. And I would always tell them, you're wrong. You know, it's an illegal war. And they would, you know, you think if your friends would speak to you with respect, I mean, they would always say, no, you're wrong, and we disagree with you, and just things like that you could never forget. And I tried to put it out of my mind, but every time I think about them sitting there and telling me I was wrong,
Does it anger you?
No, it doesn't anger me, because I love Jerry, and I love the kids, but, you know, can you imagine sitting there and saying, you know, given a perfectly good reason to be against the war in Iraq, and then they look at you and they look you square in the face and they say, well, I disagree with you. And you start questioning everything you ever were or ever want to be.
You know, when you talk about the money that you're owed, aren't these girls, they're still in high school, and I asked you, why not forgive the debt? Okay. Have you thought about what we said to you, what Janice said to you before the show, and I want to make this, let my audience in on this.
Yes, sir.
Which was that we would be happy to give you the $1,000, Mr. Parsley, so that, if the girls can't afford it or they don't have to be in a month, whatever the heck, we'll give you the $1,000.
And as I said to you, Phil, it's a very generous offer.
Have you thought about it?
Yes, sir, I have. And I would take that offer in a minute, but I still need to make sure that it comes out of them. Because, as I said, we have to make these people accountable for their support of just as we got to make George Bush accountable. That's for sure. But also Jerry's family, because, like I said, I want the girls to learn a lesson, because I feel like I am. Maybe in Jerry's absence, I can be a surrogate father to them, and I want them to learn that when you're wrong, you have to pay. You got to pay. But again, I've laid out a payment plan for them. They can pay me back $100 a month.
Well, is it even possible for these kids to pay back $100 a month if they're in high school, if they're still seniors in high school?
Well, my understanding is Jerry's aunt has some money. His uncle was a man who worked for Esso Oil for, I think, about 40 years, and the guy had a pretty good pension and retired very well. So I think, you know, between that, they can get me my money, you know.
Do you need this money? I mean,
no. Well, I mean, I gave them $1,000, and all of a sudden they tell me that I'm wrong about Iraq. That's the part.
So again, just to be clear to the audience, your friend gets killed in Iraq. He owes you $1,000. You're going to get his sisters to pay that debt off, to teach them that they shouldn't have been in favor of the war.
Two reasons. He owes me the money, and that's still, you know, you still have to pay that. But also, they were against the war, and told me I was wrong and everything. And I'm just trying to teach them a lesson because Jerry's not here to do it anymore. See, when I lent the money to Jerry, he had not yet enlisted, so I gave it to him under false pretenses. I love Jerry, and there's no way I would have lent him $1,000 with the knowledge he was going to go support, you know, an illegal war. Had I known that, I'd never given it to him. But then I lent him the money, and then he goes and joins. That's like a kick right in, you know, that's a kick to my rear end.
All right, Don, hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. So his friend went to Iraq, his friend was killed in Iraq, and by the way, I'm very sorry that that happened, Mr. Parsley.
Thank you very much, sir.
And he owes you $1,000. Obviously, he can't pay it, but you're going to make his sisters pay this off at $100 a month plus, what was it, 5% interest?
5%, yeah, which is pretty reasonable considering the passbook accounts right now.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Renee, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Don Parsley.
Well, thank you very much.
Yes.
No, you. Just a couple of points. One thing I'd like to say is you claim that this man is your friend.
Oh, he was my friend all through school.
Okay, yeah. Wait. He's your friend.
I thought the world of him.
And yet he has paid the ultimate sacrifice for you, and he's your friend.
Well, he made
a mistake.
And you are
still holding him accountable for this.
Well,
not right.
You can't.
When a man is holding his sisters accountable.
Could I get in a word
that
here?
That is not correct.
Go ahead.
Renee, hold on for a minute.
First of all, he was pretty stupid to go over to Iraq and fight in this stupid war.
Hold up. You're calling him stupid and he's your friend?
I love him. Well, yeah, you got to be honest with your friends. Haven't you ever called a friend of yours stupid?
Okay, my
Don't
father
you have stupid
was
friends?
A, my father was a three-time Vietnam war veterinarian. You were calling your friend stupid for serving in Iraq.
Was your father
and
a
accountable?
Hold on for a minute, Renee. Renee, if you don't listen to anybody, we're going to hang up and move on, okay?
All right.
You listen to me? Did you say your father was a veterinarian in Vietnam?
He's a veteran of Vietnam.
You said the word veterinarian.
I heard her say that,
sorry,
Bill.
Veteran.
Okay, now, see, ma'am, I'm sure you have people that love you, even though you're a little, you know, you don't say smart stuff.
True.
Okay, that's all I'm saying. I love Jerry, even though he was stupid. And we rode motorcycles across Texas. I had no idea at the time he was going to be dumb enough to enlist in the Army and go to Iraq. See?
So your friend was stupid.
Just like you are sometimes.
Going to Iraq.
At least I don't call him a veterinarian. I'm just joking around. I'm sorry.
Well,
all right, Renee, thanks for your call. She's obviously a little nervous. Here, let's go. Oh, you know what? I'm going to hold the line here for a second. We have to take a break. Let's not call people stupid. You know, I think that only sort of, I don't know, defeats the purpose.
Well, I don't mean to call him stupid, but he was stupid for going to fight in a war that's illegal. I mean, that's got to be stupid.
Well, when you use the word stupid, people react negatively to it.
But the last lady was stupid, and people still love her.
Well, I wouldn't say she's stupid. I'd say she was nervous, and she, instead of saying veteran, she said veterinarian.
That's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking here with Don Parsley, whose friend Jerry Coelho of Pasadena, California, enlisted in the United States Army, was in action in Iraq back in June and was killed near Baghdad. Apparently, Mr. Coelho owed Don $1,000 before he left, and Don is going to hold his family to the dead. He wants to get paid back because he says you have to be held accountable if you supported this illegal war. Now, this man is dead. He's going to make the guy's younger sisters pay for it. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. FUBAR. Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I said if Jerry had survived the Iraq War, he'd be a veterinarian now.
Well, you're making a joke about that lady misstating the word veteran to veterinarian, and I don't think that I really want to joke.
No, sir, I don't want to joke, but I can tell you
Well, I want to ask you, sir, Mr. Parsons, before you say anything.
Certainly.
Why not accept our show's offer to give you the give the kids the $1,000?
Phil, I would love to do that, but I've got to make sure that these younger sisters realize that Jerry really, in a lot of ways, was not a good brother because he went off to fight an illegal war in Iraq knowing that he owed me $1,000, and he goes and gets himself killed, and now they have to pay off their selfish brother's debt.
How can you call this man selfish who's taking care of his younger sisters?
I always felt that he was not selfish until I seen him go off to Iraq and fight an illegal war. Then I realized it.
But you still love this man?
I love him, yeah. I'll always love him like a brother, but, I mean, he left his sisters in the lurch by being so stupid that he went off to fight in Iraq, and maybe he didn't care as much about him. I don't know. I don't know what his problem was.
So they're going to have to pay off the debt. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Debbie, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Don Parsley.
Yes, Phil. I just want to say to this man that how can he hold these children accountable for a debt that doesn't belong to them?
It's a good question. The reason why I'm doing it, Debbie, is because, first of all, the man owed me $1,000, and I guess I'd ask you, where am I supposed to get that? Out of Iraq? I'm not going to get it out of Iraq or anything, that's for sure. So what am I supposed to do?
What you're supposed to do is the money's owed. Do you have paperwork? Did he sign an IOU to you?
Oh, yeah. Yes, he did.
Oh, he did?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I believe that's his signature.
Well,
and
still, they're going to...
These children don't owe you anything.
Well, his estate has a debt, so...
See, he has no estate. You just said that. The parents are gone, and the kids
what
live
is
with the aunt.
What is the... Is there a will or something?
Well, it doesn't matter whether there's paperwork or not. I mean, the guy goes off to fight... The guy goes off to fight... What, are you a lawyer? What are you, Perry Mason? Are you
don't have to be an attorney.
I think you do. I think you do. I think you need to know.
These kids are not accountable.
Do you know?
Debt.
Do you know
what
of something
do?
Called?
Take their babysitting money.
Do you know what it's called? Habeas corpus.
Do you know what that is?
Do you know what that is?
Ridiculous.
Do you know what that is, ma'am?
This man, these kids owe you nothing.
Oh, you know what? I tell you what you ought to do, Debbie, is volunteer to be their lawyer. Okay.
Absolutely.
And you'll lose them all their money.
Wait a minute.
The lady's got a point. If there's no paperwork, then you can't really legally...
Look, this guy is dumb enough to go to Iraq and get killed. Okay?
Dumb enough.
And I got $1,000.
Dumb enough to fight for your freedom? Dumb enough to fight for your
ma'am,
freedom?
Ma'am, that was an illegal war against the United States of America.
I think that...
You're asking me how they're going to earn their money. How's that my problem? They just got to earn it. That's not...
No, it's not their problem either.
Let me tell you what my problem is.
They didn't sign anything.
I don't have $1,000. That's my problem. Their problem is getting me that money.
Well, if they didn't sign anything...
So in other words, I give their dumb brother $1,000, he goes and gets killed, and I'm standing here with nothing.
He goes and gets killed for your freedom, sir.
Yeah, okay. Whatever you say, Thomas
Jefferson. For your freedom. If you don't like it here, why don't you move to another country?
You know, you remind me of that Agatha Christie. She thought she was a lawyer, too, or whatever.
Really?
All right, okay. Debbie, thank you very much. 1-800-449-8686. Lady has a point. There's no paperwork.
I don't care if there's no paperwork or not. You know, these people that were opposed, that were in favor of the war in Iraq, have got to be held accountable. Now she's going to... So what you're saying is every soldier that goes over to that illegal war can borrow money and not care.
Well, come on, quit. The guy's dead. Dumb, stupid, selfish.
I can say all of those things, Mr. Henry, because I loved him, and because I loved him very much like a brother. And so he goes ahead and puts a gun into my ribs for $1,000.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. His friend died in Iraq, but he still owes him $1,000. The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry, drug addict. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, we're talking with Don Parsley. a very dear friend of his was killed in action in Iraq back in 2003, in June of that year. That friend, before he went to Iraq, in fact, before he enlisted, owed Don $1,000. And Don, you're holding the family to that $1,000 debt only because they were wrong to support the war in Iraq, which you call an illegal war.
Yes, and I want to make something very clear, Phil. I'm not trying to punish anybody. I love Jerry. I love those young ladies, Melissa and Maureen. I love them like they're my own daughters. But when you support, and everybody that was, I marched in an anti-war march in Hollywood, they all said, boy, you're wrong. Boy, that hurt. When they told me that I was wrong to be against the war, it cut like a knife. I have something right here, Phil, if I could.
Now, you say you've got something on verbal contracts?
Yes, sir. If, on the other hand, they agreed the major points but hadn't agreed some minor point, the contract would stand, okay? So the girls have already agreed that the debt does exist and that they should assume it because he was their brother, and they haven't said he's stupid yet, because I want them to be held accountable that their brother was dumb enough to go to war.
How can you call a friend of yours dumb? What about the people that have just called up, sir, and said...
Mr. Henry?
No, well, the people that have called up, sir, and said, this is your friend. Can you at least appreciate that his intention was to help our country by going to Iraq?
Mr. Henry, please. You're talking to an old veteran, anti-Iraq war veteran. I was in a march in Hollywood, and I stood behind Mike Farrell and also Martin Sheen as they carried the sign down the street. I know all about, you know, morals and stuff. Also, it says, what often happens is that negotiations are legally binding, an agreement was reached verbally with an intention to write it down, but it didn't happen. See, so I'm covered legally.
Now, my producer, Janice, tells me that you're nursing an ailment of some kind.
Yes, sir. I got a torn calf muscle. I apologize if you can hear me.
Well, it sounds like you're in a hot tub.
I'm in a jacuzzi, yes, sir.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Terry, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Don Parsley.
Firstly, let me just say to you that 50% of the people in this country voted for George Bush. That's why the election was so close. Secondly, I am married to a U.S. Marine, and what my husband does for a living gives you the right to sit on that show and call people stupid, which people in other countries don't have. Thirdly, unless those girls are 18 years old, no matter what they signed, they cannot sign a contract and have it be legally binding. That is the law.
Well, okay.
First of all,
you're the wife.
You can let me finish.
Look, you're not Matlock. Okay, once again, I got Perry Mason.
You are not a friend.
Okay, hold on.
You are not this man's friend. This is not friendship. You are trying to buy an opinion.
Look, ma'am, if you're so smart, why don't you buy a better cell phone? Because I can't even hear what you're saying.
Why don't you do something other than call people
stupid?
That's a great point.
Did your husband?
Somebody needs to give you money because they don't like what you said.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Has your husband gone over to Iraq to be illegal in the illegal war or not?
My husband has fought in the Iraq war in 1992 in this Iraq war so that you could sit there and tell people
he's over there. He's over there being illegal.
That's the point of it.
And borrowing money from people. And I think it's wrong.
When the U.S. Supreme Court says that this war was illegal, then I will be bound by that. But you aren't them, and you are not a lawyer, and you are not a judge.
You're not a lawyer. You don't sound like, what's your name?
I don't even know what I do.
Who are you, Honey Love? That chick that goes, you know, the black chick on TV?
So
no.
You have no point.
Okay.
You're going to
Honey Love?
No. You have no point,
Thirsty Love.
So you're going to
Hey, ma'am. No, ma'am. I already made my point. My point is this. I was good enough to give the guy... $1,000.
Hey, Terry, if you don't want to hear the caller, you know, you got to listen to the guy. You've been talking here, and, you know, let him, what is it you're going
to
say here, Don?
I'm not going to listen to him insult me. I'll tell you that.
All right, well, don't insult the lady.
She called me an idiot, and she used the A word. And she's called me, and she used profanity, and I've never used any profanity.
I did not use profanity.
Yes, ma'am, you did. Yes, ma'am, you did. Ma'am, you used GD. When you were talking to me, which I God, get a new phone, will you?
All right. What is your point, Don?
Will you listen to her? I mean, that's what she sounds like.
All right, let me just hear what you have to say, Mr. Parsley.
What I have to say is this. Number one, the guy, I'm against the war in Iraq, and yet I'm the guy that lent $1,000 to the guy that was going to go over and be illegal in it, okay? That's number one. Now everybody's yelling at me. That's
but you didn't do it knowing that
number
he
two.
Was going over to the war. You
number
already
two.
Said that.
His sisters are legally bound to pay me back according to the verbal contract that for the state of California, under verbal contracts, the party can be underage so long as it was witnessed by an adult, and I was the witness. I was the adult, okay? And thirdly, did that lady hang up?
Yes, sir, she did.
Okay, I hate her. I want to, and I just...
Look, let's move on to a call.
No, I want to, I have free speech, and I want her to know that I hate her living guts.
Boy, why are you against the war in Iraq?
Because it was illegal, against the Constitution of the United Nations.
You really felt strongly, huh?
Yeah, I felt strongly, and also, I'll tell you right now, it stings like the worst venereal disease you ever had to find out that $1,000 is just gone like that because the guy you lent it to went over to Iraq and let a raghead shoot him, so he's dead.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Often when I think of people who are against the war in Iraq, I think of people who are more humanist, and that is a forgiving kind of people.
Mr. Andrea, I'm a Christian man, and I am a forgiving person. I don't want the $1,000 because of the money. I want to teach that family a lesson that when they disagree with me about the Iraq war, man, it burned like the worst case of drip I ever had. And, you know, I'm being facetious.
Well, you know what? We can leave that kind of reference out of our show if you don't mind. Here is Michael on the Phil Hendry Show. Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, I won't apologize for I'm on my cell phone right now, but anyway.
I can hear you fine, Michael.
I don't see why he can sit there and say that his friend was stupid or whatever. He didn't go over there and, you know, tell them Iraqis to shoot me dead so I don't have to pay so-and-so his money back.
How do you know?
Wait a minute. Are you telling me your friend went all the way to Iraq to get shot so he didn't have to pay back $1,000?
Sir, I'm not saying that, but I'm just asking this man how does he know it's not true?
Well, you know, if he wanted to just kill himself, he would have just shot himself at home and you know, done, you know, cut out the middleman or whatever. But if it was your daughter that owed, you know,
that's a good
your
point.
Daughter owed his debt.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't want them to be treated like this by some idiot like you, you know, telling them, you owe this. What it amounts to is people don't see things your way, and that's why you're so upset about it. Because if it was the other way around, you wouldn't pay the money. If somebody you know, somebody you was related to died, you wouldn't pay the money.
Okay, I'm sorry. You lost me. I'm sorry. Well, I followed you for a while, but you lost me.
If
somebody paid for me.
If somebody that you was related to passed away.
And they got ripped off for $1,000.
No, if they owed somebody $1,000, you wouldn't pay them $1,000. You just let them go to hell and make them get the best way they can.
Excuse me, Michael, and I'm sorry if I sound stupid. How am I going to pay a dead man $1,000?
Not the dead
man. That ain't what I'm
saying. You're not paying the dead man the $1,000. You're paying the living relative. In other words, it's the same scenario that we're talking about here, Mr. Parsley, except you would be the soldier.
But I would never be a soldier because I'm against the illegal occupation of Iraq.
You know why you won't ever be a soldier?
No.
Because you got your head so far up your butt because you ain't got the balls to be an American soldier.
Wait a minute.
They don't let little pantyways like you be soldiers.
I'm a pantyweight.
Because you march down the street behind Martin Sheen. Ooh, well, who the hell is he? You know, what constitution do you go by? The United States or the United Nations? You want to go by the United Nations? Go to Africa. Get out of the United States.
Well, sir, I hear what you're saying, but I'll tell you what. Until you march down Hollywood Boulevard behind Mike Farrell and all of them.
Oh, Mike Farrell.
You won't even know how fun it is.
Well, it sounds to me like that's a damn gay prey for us.
gay prey?
Can I ask a question? Is this Arlie Ermey from the movie? You know,
Mike Farrell and Martin Sheen? Idiots.
Well,
that's
sir,
why you was in there with them, because you're an idiot too.
Sir,
I'd pay you $1,000 just to come.
Well, that's what I've been trying to tell him, Michael. The Phil Hendry Show will pay off the $1,000, but the guy doesn't want... You don't want me to take...
Mr. Hendry, this isn't about you or this gentleman paying it. The family has to pay it so they can know that they hurt me when they said they disagreed with me.
Oh, so you're going to be a dumb... feelings hurt, so now you're going to make it worse on them and hurt them, but you love them like they're your daughters?
Yes, sir, I do.
I hate to see how you treat your real daughters, then. You probably lock him in a damn closet and don't feed him or whatever.
Sir, I never indicated that I had daughters. See, you're misstating the facts again.
It's a good thing you don't, because they'd be taken away from you if you don't care no more about the other two people
you
claim to be your daughters.
Why would you assume that I have daughters?
He's not assuming that you have daughters.
Yes, he is, sir. And this is the problem with the pro-war crowd. They just lie and lie again.
Look, I ain't pro-war.
And, you know,
I stand behind George W. Bush because he is our president.
And who are you calling gay? You stand behind George Bush. A minute ago,
well,
I stood behind Mike Farrell.
I'd put George Bush up against Martin Sheen and Mike Farrell any day. I guarantee it.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know what?
Five against you, ten.
Susan Sarandon was there and winked at me, and see, you know.
All the have-been, wannabe actors that's no good anymore, so now they're trying to get a name for themselves.
Hey, yeah, let me ask you something here, Don. What's the big wow about you walking behind Martin Sheen down Hollywood Boulevard, an anti-war thing?
Because that's I was in an anti-war protest and everything, which proves I'm anti-war, and then I gave $1,000 to a guy who went over and got himself shot just so he could stick the debt on his daughters. And
we've already told you that that guy didn't...
I bet you owe $1,000 to somebody that you don't know, and that's why you're being so pushy with
me. Wait a minute.
What?
Wait a minute. Was it his daughters or his sisters that you want the money from?
What did I say?
You just said his daughters.
His daughters.
Uh-oh.
Look at me like
the veterinary woman.
Hey, you know, veterinarian.
Look at Michael. Thank you very much.
Wait a minute, I want to talk to that guy.
No, we've run out of time for this hour.
I said it's his daughters.
You said it was his sisters, okay?
Turn that up, will you, honey? Mr. Andrew, I just want my $1,000.
Yeah, meanwhile, you're sitting in a hot tub. Listen to that thing.
I got the jets going. I got the jets in. Put on the blowers. Listen to this. Oh, that is sweet.
Are you trying to tell me, man, you're sitting in a hot tub with the blowers on and you still want that G from that poor family of a killed-in-action American soldiers? A soldier.
Ha ha. You said soldiers. Ha ha ha. You meant to say soldier. Get that rubber duck for me, will you? You know, Mr. Henry...
Bug off. Get the rubber duck. Here's a guy sitting in a hot tub somewhere, and he wants to get his G out of the poor sisters or daughters or whoever they are of this man that was killed in action in Iraq so he can get his pound of flesh. What do you want?
I just wanted to call in and apologize. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay, man. I just don't like anything about you, okay?
Look, I don't want the whole anti-war movement to look bad just on account of me. We're not all like me. Most of us are, but not all of us. There's a few that aren't.
There's a few people that don't own hot tubs.
That's correct. Yeah, that's good. Pump that baby up to about 103, will you, honey?
Well, the line's gone dead. Oh, and what is that, Janice? Is the offer still on that you'll give me the $1,000 he wants to know? Hey, pal, not in a million years, okay? 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. When the truth just isn't enough. The Phil Henry Show is back.
I've got a very conscientious engineer. His name is Mark Newman, and he by the way, is an expectant father. But that doesn't make any difference to the FCC or perhaps anybody who runs this company. Mark is sweating the fact now that a caller from Miami uttered the word, well, one of the callers, actually from Atlanta, was from Atlanta, called, and now I have to find out if the word's okay with the FCC. So let me get Miss FCC on the line now and ask her if the word that we just used was okay. Hi, Miss FCC.
Hi, this is the FCC.
Hi. Listen, is the word pecker okay to say?
No, it is not.
I bet you would be if Bono said it.
I don't understand.
I said I bet you would be okay if... Never mind.
What did that fall flat?
Okay. Okay, man, you're going to have to cut out the word pecker, even though it has absolutely nothing to do with the area of the body some people are thinking about. In fact, only a filthy mind, only a mind that is filled with sewage, only a mind that was found in the deepest, dankest filth pit, in the deepest, most fragrant septic tank, would think that that guy calling a guy a pecker has anything to do with anything obscene. Only a filthy mind. So if you have a filthy mind, please write the FCC, Washington, D.C. See, one of the things about the FCC, I'm not sweating any of it because that doesn't have nothing to do with me, man. We don't rely on that kind of material much. But the idea that I got a conscientious guy here worried about a word like... And by the way, thank God for David Letterman. Thank God for that interview he did with that imbecile Janet Jackson last night. Unbelievable, Jackson. If you think you were on that show for any other reason other than to talk about the Super Bowl, baby, you are sorely mistaken. Nobody cares about your new album or your career. He had you on that show to find out how that whole thing came down at the Super Bowl. Was it planned? Was it not? Was there supposedly a wardrobe underneath? Was it rehearsed? Was it this? Was it that? Was it something else? And she kept saying, can we move on? I'm sure the audience is really tired of it. And like the audience is, Dave says, no, they're not. Haven't heard from you. You haven't talked about it. You're the one that started all of this. And now there's guys that are making $30,000 a year getting canned on account of you, fatso. And when I say fatso, I do mean fat, Janet. I hadn't been, I've been thinking about maybe holding back a little bit, but I might as well let you know, baby. Your rear end has gotten way too big. And you know me, I'm a cat that loves a beautiful ass on a woman. By the way, I said ass, Miss FCC.
You're dead.
Thanks. But, baby, you ain't all that, okay? So last night, Letterman's got her on, and he's grilling her, asking her question after question about the boob incident, what some stupid imbecile of a writer at USA Today is calling Boobiegate. Oh, my God. Fire that cat just because he's lame. Some people you got to just take out in the street and put a bullet in them because they're hopelessly freaking lame, right? That's one of them. And he kept that, and she says, can we move on and talk about something else? Like, what else are we going to talk about with you, honey? Your new album, Demita Joe, and how Dullsville that thing is? What do you want us to talk about, huh? There's only two things to talk with you about, and that is Michael Jackson, your brother, who's infinitely more interesting and weird, and your boob. And this chick thinks they're going to sit down and have a rap session about our new record and how hot it is. Later for you, sweetheart. Leno will love to talk with you about that crap. In fact, she'll probably get it in writing from NBC. There's such a pack of, can I say it?
No.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous. This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Janice, I'll need to get this confirmed. Ladies and gentlemen, I have to begin this hour, and we just received this word not more than 30 seconds ago, so please bear with us as my staff confirms this now. You are getting confirmation on this? I essentially do an entertainment show, so it hopefully doesn't fall to me to give you news, but we have received some tragic news within the last 30 seconds. We have just received word here at our studios, and it has also passed the wires, so it has been confirmed that Jay Leno has signed for another 5 years for $100 million. Oh, God. Our condolences, of course, go to the Leno family. What do you do at a time like this? You can only hold on to each other. This is when we need each other more than anything else. This is when we need to, I guess this is just when we need to reach out, and especially the children. How do they take news like this? The kids are going to look up at you and say, Mommy, Daddy, what does that mean Jay Leno signed for another 5 years? And you're going to have to explain it to them. I suggest that you get a counselor, schools, have a counselor on standby tomorrow for the kids who will be traumatized. I imagine most schools will not be in session tomorrow. I anticipate that there will probably be school closings. In fact, I can almost be certain that businesses and schools will be closed. We haven't gotten any confirmation on this, but when the country generally is grieving, we will most certainly experience school closings and business closings. The only information we have at this time is that someone saw Jay Leno sign a contract for another 5 years for $100 million. This was witnessed by witnesses at the scene. Police apparently were too late to respond. Right now there is an emergency fund being set up to help anyone who suffers any kind of a paralysis from this information, especially when you watch that show and you suffer some kind of an aneurysm. Just the sheer boredom cuts the oxygen off from vital areas of the body. There is an emergency fund to help you through another 5 years of Jay Leno on The Tonight Show. Again, our condolences go out to everyone involved and to the American people. May God help us. May God help us in this time of need. Thank you. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Just one other note on Jay. Nice guy, but do you know that if you read Bill Carter's book, I don't know if he's a nice guy, I never met him, but I guess he is. I mean, I'm sure he is. I mean, that's what they say. I mean, Bill Carter wrote a book called The Late Shift, and it was about The Tonight Show and David Letterman and Jay Leno. And in the book, he claims that Letterman was actually the choice of Johnny Carson, not Jay Leno, that Carson wanted Letterman, not Leno. And there was some cornball kind of handing over of the Tonight Show microphone that they had planned where Johnny would walk off the set and give it to Jay. And Carson apparently didn't want to do that. He thought that Letterman was the great successor to him. And now I'm watching the Tonight Show with Jay Leno some 8 years later, and I'm asking myself this question, Carson, why didn't you want Leno? He's just like you. He's exactly like you, man. Overrated. A lot of his shtick is lifted. Just like Johnny Carson. See, Carson, I hate to break the news, he wasn't funny at all. Johnny Carson was a great interviewer, which I suppose is something he had over Jay Leno. And I'm not trying to be hateful or spiteful. I'm just, as they say, calling them the way I sees them. And basically, Jay sucks. But he's a swell dude, and he's got motorcycles. And apparently, according to the story, he, quote, has not touched his Tonight Show money, opting instead to live on earnings from his stand-up gigs. Well, fan my brow, sister. So the cat is so cheap that he's living off of what, $200 a night? I don't know what he's getting. His stand-up gigs must be paying him a bundle, man. If he's got 19 million motorcycles, 600 cars. Look, I don't wish the cat any ill at all. He's just, it's great. It's just his show sucks, and that's all there is to that. But beyond that, let me just say this. Carson, why wouldn't you want a Jay Leno? You might as well call him Johnny Leno. Because he's exactly the way you were, man. Middle American, right down the pipe, baby. Bringing that high heat in, man. Middle American, schmaltzy shtick, lifted bits, lifted other guys' characters. All the usual Tonight Show crud that we have been living with ad nauseum since, I don't know when the Tonight Show went on the air first. What was it, 1841 or something like that? Like sometime in the late 1840s it went on the air with, I think the original host was James Buchanan, the former president of the United States, and he just said, "Hi, I'm James Buchanan. By the way, I'm a fag." And, well, why else do you think I didn't get married? No, really. And out comes Jay in the long line. Why would Letterman wouldn't have lasted 5 seconds doing that 11:30 shot, man? They would have, oh, man. They would have hung him out to dry, twisting in the breeze. Now, you know, there's one Leno that I actually admire. That's that Mavis. Now, there's a woman with some social awareness or something. Wasn't she the one that first started in on those Taliban? She's the one years ago that started in on the Taliban, and everybody was laughing at her. Say, what do we care about ladies in bags, right? She showed some rather prognosticative something or other. But old Jay, man, he's got another $100 million, baby, coming his way for another 5 years of whatever. Last night, though, That thing with what's-her-face, Janet Jackson, was just the most beautiful moment on television that you would ever hope to just kind of fall upon. There he is, Letterman, asking her about that Super Bowl scandal, if you will, and she don't want to talk about it. She wants to talk about the new album like anybody's tuning in to talk about anything else or see anything else other than her. Talk about her right boob and then get the hell off. Well, I've got an episode. Okay, thanks a lot. Get out of here. She thinks she's on a show because people actually care about her. So Jay don't, he's not living on his Tonight Show money. What is that about? What are you going to do with it? Was he going to give it to the Catholic Church? Don't you dare do that, man. I had an aunt that did that, Jay. Please, no, God, don't. My Aunt Alice, God rest her soul, let me tell you how smart my Aunt Alice was, okay? Get a load of this. You're going to love this. Years ago, my Aunt Alice came out to Hawaii from upstate New York. She was married to some guy. And I, by the way, I loved Alice. She was one of these gals. We just loved her. She always brought us the bag of sea suckers when she came to visit us on weekends. And she was always laughing, always smiling, always in a good mood. You never saw this woman downcast about a thing. She was manic, probably. She probably needed medicine. But when you're a kid, it's great. She, you know, put you in a car and drive really fast, dangerously down one-way streets. I'm a kid. I think it's cool. You know, I didn't see the flaming cherries in the back, you know, in the rear window with the cops just chasing us at 80 miles an hour. They've got children in the car. I can tell they have kids in the car. And she's at the wheel just. Anyway, my Aunt Alice goes out to Hawaii. Now, something happened in 1941 called the bombing of Pearl Harbor. Now, what do you think was happening in Honolulu after Pearl Harbor got bombed? They were selling the land. People were getting out, baby. Well, the getting was good. Same thing they were doing in Manhattan after the World Trade Center. Getting out, right? She started buying up all the land. Now, here's a lesson for you guys. All you cats that sold all that land on Manhattan Island after the Trade Center went up, my aunt bought up property on Oahu right after they bombed Pearl Harbor. She made a bundle. Made a bundle. And she packed her money away, and then she opened up a little luggage store over here in Pasadena, and all the movie stars would come in and buy all her crap from her. And we always thought it was cool, because she'd come to the house, and she'd go, oh, Jack Benny came in today and bought a purse. And we're like, oh, really? We didn't really know what it meant that Jack Benny bought a purse. We just thought it was kind of cool. And she sort of nodded with a very serious look to my father, like, it's very sad. Well, let me get you another cup of coffee, Aunt Alice. Anyway, Aunt Alice finally croaks in the I forget when it was. Actually, I couldn't even drive yet because she was so senile. I think I was 13. That was it. We went to visit her. And my mom wanted a pack of cigarettes. And Alice looks at me and says, well, why don't you have Philip go drive and get them? She thought I had a driver's license, right? Well, knowing that she had Alzheimer's or whatever wasn't going to stop me. I'm like, see? Aunt Alice said I should have the keys to the car, so let me go drive and do it. I can drive it. Get out of here. You're a kid. She's nuts. So now the day comes, and she passes from this earth. Now they're going to have the will read. And I don't know if they do it this way anymore, but there was a time when you would sit in a large mahogany-lined room with a clock ticking slowly in the background, just...
And to my eldest boy, Ebenezer.
And they're reading the will, and my dad is there in the room, rubbing his hands together, waiting for the manna from heaven to drop into his lap, right? And to my nephew, Philip, I grant 5 G's, I think she left me, right? Hey, it was not bad in 1972 money. I bought a car. And to my daughter, this, and my niece, that, and finally, they get to the point in the will, and the large, whatever the hell they call it, the rest of the bread goes to the Catholic Diocese of Los Angeles. My old man didn't get nickel one. You want to know why? Because of the divorce. My parents got divorced, and my aunt blamed him for it. So she hated his guts. This was it wasn't really my aunt, it was his cousin, whatever the hell you call her. So... I'll never forget my father, he challenged it, you know, he got a lawyer, tried to get the thing changed. Forget it, Dad. The whole thing's going over to the Catholic Church, man. I don't know how much they got of this old lady's money, but I bet you she was worth about 5, 6, 7 million when she died. And so probably of that 5, 6, 7 million, I think about 16,000 went to the immediate family, and the rest went over to the diocese of our Lady of Perpetual Gunplay, the L.A. County Diocese of the Catholic Church. And they got the whole kit and caboodle, baby. And a lot of these cats do this. A lot of these kind of goofy, you know, cracked up Catholics. Like Gibson's probably going to do that. He's building a church out here in Malibu. What the hell? Look, at I don't mind a guy being Catholic. I don't mind a guy being religious at all, and I think it's wonderful. What are you going to give your bread to the Catholic Church for? They got more money they know what to do with. Have you seen the church they're building down? Did you see that church they built downtown here? Oh, my God. You think you're walking into the Taj Mahal times six? They got more bread. They got more Mercedes. They don't know what else to do with this, Jack. Don't leave your bread to them, if only to teach them the actual practical lesson. You know the three vows you're supposed to take when you're a priest and a nun, which is abstinence, something or other, and whatever the hell. But one of them has to do with being cheap. You can't have any money. That's it. Why don't you make them practice what they freaking preach over there? So here's Leno. He ain't going to spend any of that $100 million because he don't want anybody to get it. But the good fathers downtown, I'll bet. Yeah, you want to know why? Because they got to lay in another 100-year supply of Johnny Walker Black. That's why. Whew, man. Anyway, good for you, Jay. 5 more years. I hope you enjoy it, because I know we won't. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Say fans. Don't forget the Best of the Phil Henry Show 2003 double CD, The Death of Talk Radio. And when I mean The Death of Talk Radio, I mean the death. You can buy it on our website if you have a computer at www.philhenryshow.com. But if you don't have one of them there things, you can call 877-616-7445. 877-616-7445 to order the Best of the Phil Henry Show 2003 CD.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
And now on The Phil Henry Show, it's time for our oft-repeated feature, How to Actually Read a News Story. Yes, that's right. Every time you pick up the newspaper and you see a news story, you may think you know what it is you're reading, but you don't. I know you'll run to your friends and say, did you see the paper today? Why, it said dot, dot, dot. And you sound like a total idiot because there are ways of reading news stories. You see, reporters don't want you to know the facts. They just want you to know their opinion of the facts. And so we bring this feature on the Phil Henry Show so you won't look like an utter moron when you're talking to your friends. Now, today on How to Read a News Story, I'm going to tell you about this story that's been floating around for the last couple of days. Have you heard about it? That's right. Apparently, according to the news, U.S. officials say, well, Saddam's not talking. Yeah, that's right, man. He's just sitting there with his arms folded across his chest, and he's like, take a look, and he ain't saying a word. Yeah, sure. All right, let me tell you about this. He doesn't have a lawyer in the room, but Saddam Hussein apparently is practicing what most attorneys would advise, don't talk. Diplomatic and military officials say the former Iraqi leader has provided little useful information in interrogation so far and may be having fun. Now, let me tell you who wrote this. This is the Associated Press. I wish they'd say who the writer is because some of these people really ought to get full credit for their writing, don't you think? There's no name. It's just no byline here. Why, in point of fact, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld has indicated in interviews that interrogators aren't learning much from the former president of Iraq. In fact, according to this story, the questioning of Saddam is now a joint CIA-FBI operation, a sign that the aim is changing from finding intelligence to gathering evidence for any eventual trial. Oh, I see. The people who are asking questions at the moment are from the FBI, said a U.S. intelligence official, speaking on the condition of anonymity. Now, let me tell you how to really read this news story. This one's easier than most to read. First of all, I ask a lot of you guys out there, how many of you believe this? I know there's many of you that do. I know a lot of you are saying now you don't. I know you did. Don't even worry about it. In fact, most of the people who read this story believed it. Now, let me enlighten you to something. Who are we talking about here? Chris, who are we talking about?
Saddam.
And who else?
And Rumsfeld, you mentioned, right?
Right, and I mentioned one other group of people.
I was answering the phone. I didn't hear the other person.
Well, it wasn't a person. It was the CIA.
The CIA,
the
Phil.
The CIA. Yes, the CIA, ladies and gentlemen. Probably the greatest entity in the history of the world at spreading disinformation. It is what they do. It's part of what they do. Disinformation. What's disinformation, you ask? Disinformation is the spreading of sort of falsehoods or twisted facts in order to gauge a reaction, or in order to get a reaction, and then you gauge that reaction. There is no way, folks, that the CIA is going to divulge to anybody truthfully how their interrogation of Saddam Hussein is going. Any intelligence official who thinks that they have is either purposefully spreading disinformation or he's an idiot. Any reporter that thinks that he would or thinks that the CIA would is hands down an idiot. The CIA is not going to broadcast to the world that Saddam is not talking unless they have a reason to influence people's thinking about him. And what would that be? Well, there's a lot of things. There's a group of Ba'ath Party loyalists still afoot and still causing trouble in Iraq. They're also allied with Al-Qaeda. There are any number of groups, pockets of individuals who have a great interest in whether Saddam Hussein is talking or is not talking. Frankly, we don't know what's going on in that interrogation room. But one thing I can just rest assured, folks, he's not having fun. And for anybody to believe that, even a guy like Saddam Hussein, who has been tortured by the best. I mean, you got to remember, before he was president of Iraq, he was in prison. And when you're in a prison in Iraq, I don't know, but I don't want to guess, man. I'm sure it has a lot to do with car batteries and telephones that ring. But no cat can be deprived of sleep for long, sit in constant daylight for 4 hours, and then constant darkness for 5 days, and then constant daylight for 6 days, and constant darkness for 4 hours, without cracking a little bit. How do you read that news story? You read the news story one way and one way only. The CIA is giving this information to you because it is a campaign, a minor one, of disinformation in order to gauge the reaction of that disinformation. If you read that and believed it, well, goodbye. It's the Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Hey, coming up, Dean Wheeler. Dean was on our show yesterday. He's a peace activist with the U.S. Out of Iraq Committee. And he said that, really, since our removal of Saddam was illegal, by all rights, we should put him back. And he, you know what, the guy's right. If the guy's right, then we should. I mean, if it was illegal, if it was an illegal war. One of the funniest, if you really think about this, you'll laugh. You'll laugh until you cough up at least one testicle. Now, I believe I can say that without getting fined, because it's in the context of a laughter, not any other kind of an act. If you think about this, just think about this for a second. How many people tell you, oh, yeah, I'm glad he's gone, but how many of these real brain surgeons that said that the war was illegal and it was the wrong when there were no WMDs, they all, to a man and a woman, will tell you, but, you know, it is good that he's gone. What's that about? What does that mean exactly? Have you thought about that? What do you mean it's good that he's gone, so we did a good thing? No, we shouldn't have gone in. It was, there were no WMD. Well, wait, then we did a bad thing, because Saddam should still be there. Well, no, it's good that he's gone. Well, which is it, man? What you're saying is, the means don't justify the end, so somewhere along the line you have to say he really should be back. He ought to be back in power because it was illegal, right? I'm just going to say that I don't want to do a big long thing. I'm going to tell you this, though, from the bottom of my heart. The most immoral thing that's going on right now in the world, the most immoral thing that is going on in the world right now, are the people who contended that they were against the war in Iraq and the countries, Canada, France, and the rest of those real stalwart backbone kind of people, not doing anything but sitting on their hands while the people of Iraq are over there trying to slog through every day, getting help from, guess who? American soldiers. You know, those terrible Americans that shouldn't be there. There is more heroism going on right now in Iraq than in all of those countries that I just mentioned combined. Right now, in 1 minute of each day, there's more heroic activity taking place than all of those countries and in the lives of anybody who was against that war combined. So you think it's good that Saddam's gone? Okay, but you thought it was an illegal war. All right, why don't you weigh what you know for certain against a belief that you have and kick in, man, and help out those guys that are over there right now, turning on electricity, getting roads built, trying to get that freaking pipeline running, trying to get schools. How immoral is it to sit back on your hands and take pot shots, call people liars, say it was illegal, say this and say that, and then people want to turn around and elect a cat like this president, this guy Kerry? That's the guy they want to run for president. And by the way, let me just get it in again, because I never want to let a day go by without reminding my other friends in the Democratic Party that I, too, am a Democrat. A Democrat that wouldn't vote for John Kerry if you put a loaded shotgun to my gonadal region. Is that okay to say?
No, it's not. It's the FCC, and you're fine.
Thank you. See, there's no argument, man. I mean, you can't make the argument. I'm so sick and tired of it. It's finally somebody's got to stand up and say something. If you're glad the guy's gone, then you're glad the guy's gone. And you got to stop sitting on your hands and taking all of these cheap shots about people lying. And almost like a child saying, "You lied to me and you didn't tell me the truth." Look, did we get you the horsey or didn't we? Yeah, you got me the horsey, but the means that you employed in getting me the horsey... Oh, shut up. We got you the freaking horsey. You know, let me just say, Saddam Hussein was a bad man, and I'm very glad he's gone. But somebody very smart said to me once, the real answer comes after the word but. If you ever hear somebody say to you the following phrase, "You know, I'm really sorry that I beat you up, but you can be assured that they're not sorry for anything." Now, either they're sorry or they ain't, man, and saying but only means that they're one big butt, as in head, as in butt head. Yeah, we're really happy he's gone, but the means that were employed was, oh, shut up. Just shut up. Just kick in now. It's time for the world to kick in and quit being so unbelievably amoral. That doesn't even look like they don't even have a moral structure. While American soldiers over there struggling to pacify that country, because you know once we get things in place over there, it's going to be way better than it was under Saddam. You know it in your hearts. You know it for a fact. And yet all you can do is sit back on your hands and watch soldier after soldier get picked off, shot, maimed, buildings blown up, cars blown up, and we just sit back here with our thumbs parked up our rear end, and we feel real smug that we were right, that it's a fiasco. I bet you everybody that was against the war in Iraq is just delighted every time they read about an American soldier dying, because it just proves their point that it's a fiasco. See, everybody wants to have their point proven. Nobody wants to save any lives, maybe get another school opened up, maybe get another light bulb turned on over there, maybe get a little bit more water running, maybe kill one more radical or one more so-called insurgent. These guys are nothing but hired mercenaries. You really got to get with a program here, sports fans. All of you cats that were against that war, time's over, man. I mean, that is like tired. Tired. You care about people? Do you really care about people? Then you'll start doing what's right. And what's right is helping those people in that country get their country back on its feet. And the way we can do it is by people pitching in through a sense, the sense they claim they have, which you know they don't, of concern for the Iraqi people. Oh, my God. Man, I'm flipping on the radio listening to a lot of these cats talking about, you know, this, that, and something, the illegal war here, and that the poor Iraqi people are suffering because of the Americans. I mean, you have got to have oatmeal for brains to really believe that. We're the ones that are making them suffer, right? We're the ones trying to freaking keep them alive. I'll tell you who's dying over there, American soldiers. So the next time, folks, you hear somebody say, oh, no doubt Saddam was evil, and I'm very glad that he's gone, you just got your answer in full. You don't need to hear the rest. You don't need to hear the but. Oh, you really are? Yeah, okay. Then how about we kick in and start helping those people over there build their country and stop with all of your nitpicky, you know, this sort of to make yourself feel better. You'll start making these arguments about Bush being a liar and the whole thing being illegal and there were no WMDs. You know what? There were no WMDs. So freaking what? How do you like that one? I know nobody gives a crap when they find a missile that was in violation of the ceasefire that we signed with Iraq. They had Scuds over there that were far in violation of that. Scuds that are supposed to be limited to a certain number of kilometers in range. They were being sold to the Iraqis by the French that violated all of that stuff. Now that's technically in violation of the United Nations, but I guess that's chicken feed in most people's in most people's book. You know what, man? Screw all of these people who are against that war in Iraq, man. That place is never going back to Saddam, and it will get pacified, with or without the people that think Americans getting shot over there is a great thing because it proves what a fiasco it is, and you can all look great at your cocktail parties. That country's going to get pacified. Those people are going to have a better world. And as the Al-Qaeda memos indicate, we ain't going no place. So how about everybody coming on board instead of sitting there with your thumbs parked up your rear end talking about how much you hate George Bush? Yeah, you hate George Bush so much, you don't care how many Iraqis freaking die. As far as you're concerned, the whole country full of them could die because that'll just prove your point all the better, right? It's like when the war broke out, I made the statement, wait till the babies start dying. Man, those cats that are against the war, they can't get those pictures up on their websites fast enough. You get a bunch of dead babies and a bunch of crying women, put it all together, kind of mix it all into the same page, and just have it say something like, the horrors of war. Throw it all together. Who cares? It might have been a picture of a lady crying in 1952 because her jacuzzi broke, and it might be the picture of maybe not a dead baby, but one of the walkie-talkie wet-me Susies that didn't make it off the assembly line, but you can call that a dead Iraqi baby too. Who cares, man, as long as it furthers your point, right? So I'm going to say it again, the most immoral people in the world today are the people taking their cheap little shots at Bush, taking their cheap-ass little shots at America, and doing nothing for the people in Iraq. The only people doing anything for the people in Iraq truly are the American soldiers over there, and by proxy, the American people. Not all of the American people, though. I'm sure they'll be glad to take all the credit for it, though, once the rebuilding gets done. I'm sure everybody will be willing to take all the credit. And once we bury all of those dead Iraqis and we bring home our soldiers in bags and we finally get that country pacified, everybody that was against that war will be just lining up to take credit for it. And I can't wait for the Canadians to start standing in line for the reconstruction contracts and the frogs and the krauts and all the rest of them. Yo mama. Guys make me want to chirp up a lung. You make me want to hawk one up, dude. Oy. As in oi, as in... Were we going to do a flashback? We can do it. How long is it? All right, let's do our flashback now. This is Dean Wheeler on how he wants to reinstate Saddam Hussein because the war was illegal, and the lady called to say, hey, Saddam, if there was no other weapon of mass destruction found, Saddam was the big WMD.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
My point is that Saddam Hussein himself is a weapon of mass destruction. He's the weapon. And
well,
sure,
that's very poetic, but hardly to the point. The United Nations...
I'm not a poet. I'm a realist.
...what a weapon of mass destruction was, and it wasn't a... Have you ever seen the Coca-Cola commercial where the polar bears hold the bottle with their paws?
Will you forget
you
about that, please?
You're insane yourself, like Saddam Hussein. Oh, I am a poet. Saddam Hussein's insane. Listen,
you know,
let me tell you something. My son-in-law is
in
Special Forces at Fort Bragg, and he is all for this.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
He would risk his life.
Oh, I feel so terrible for you.
Why?
Terrible for me. I feel honored.
That her son is now picking up arms against his brothers in Iraq. Sherry. The fact,
what do you mean, brothers in Iraq? You think those scumbag Chechens and Iranians that are over there with Al Qaeda are brothers? Is that what you're saying?
Phil, there was a man.
Ask me that again, because you're not making any sense.
I'm asking you, Sherry. Do you really feel good about your son picking up a weapon and putting on the uniform of the world's greatest terrorist to go over and kill innocent Iraqi babies?
Oh, come on.
Oh, please.
Come on.
Oh, please. You know, I tell you what, you've got very little to say. I think you're on the air because you want attention.
Sounds like you're an attention hog.
What I am is a man looking to keep this country from engaging in illicit wars, and this one was, and illegally
removing... Why don't you go live over there?
You know, Sherry...
You make it so great over there. Why don't you go live
Sherry, I wrote you a poem. I wrote you a poem.
Listen to this.
Sherry, quite contrary, how does your garden grow? With Muslim friends and Islam pals and pretty burkas all in a row.
Listen, Muslim,
see?
By the way, is a religion. I heard a little comment a little while ago.
What did I do?
You said inside of everybody is a Muslim. What? That's a religion.
Inside of every American is a Muslim screaming
a Muslim,
to rip out.
Muslim is a religion.
A Muslim's a religion?
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't familiar with that.
Yeah.
Islam is the religion that Muslims practice. Islam is the religion. The practitioner
well,
Islam
of Islam is a religion,
is a Muslim.
But they are called Muslims.
So he's called an Islam.
Just because you live over in that country, you're not a Muslim.
Are you? Well, what are you?
I'm an American.
Well,
and
I know
I'm a
you
Christian.
Are, but I know I am. But what are you? That's what my kids used to say. Isn't that stupid? And that's the way we act internationally. Oh, I know I am. But what are you? What I want to do, Sherry, is this.
You're crazy.
I'm crazy.
Yeah.
I'm crazy to want to keep babies from being murdered by members of the Fort Bragg military.
Oh, no, wait a
babies,
second.
You would have wanted him to be picked up because he's a slaughter person. I mean, all he wants to do
a
is kill people.
Person.
All he wants to do is rape.
Well, there's something to be said for that with the right kind of women. I guess that was in bad taste, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's in horrible taste. Horrible taste.
I'll tell you what.
Roses are red, violets are blue.
Say, and you're trying to be real trivial about it.
I think you
it.
Are being kind of
stupid. Serious matter.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a member of the anti-war movement in America, okay?
So why not be trivial? Is that what you're saying?
What else
no,
are
I'm
you
not...
a member of? Anything else that you can get attention by being a member of?
I happen to run a bloody class.
So that you can get in the middle
class.
Of it and cause a stink?
I run five bloody classes a week. Roses are red, violets are blue. Sherry sure would look good with a Muslim or two.
Let me tell you something. I
oh,
also
boy.
Have a son-in-law that is from the
well,
Middle
what,
East.
And what murdering military unit is he a part of?
He's not a part of any of it. He was so happy when he got conquered, and he was jumping up and down.
Did you ever see Bill and Ted's Adventures? Oh, dude, you're so totally conquered. Did you see that?
Why do you keep referring
you know something?
To other
He's an imbecile.
Instead of getting to the point?
Get
and
to the freaking
the
point.
Here's the point, Sherry.
You want to dodge the bullet.
I'd like to
you?
Teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. I'd like to hold it in my arms and keep it company.
Let me
I'd like to
something.
Rock the
You're
world
like
back
an
and
idiot.
Forth and burp
You're
it
talking
like a
in
baby.
Riddles yourself.
Yeah, you sound like a moron.
I'm a moron. I'm talking about burping the world like a baby, and I'm a moron. Thank you very much.
Oh, my God.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
We're right back on the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
By the way, I'm not about to give the website on the air, but there is a website where you can view the remains of Ahmed Yassin. You know the guy who was blasted into tiny bite-sized chunks by the Israelis? When was it, 2 weeks ago? The head of Hamas. Hamas, of course, the organization that recruits children, straps bombs to them, and then they walk into pizzerias and blow themselves up, killing other children. And somehow that gets translated in the news the next day as Palestinian resistance. And legitimate resistance to Israeli occupation. In other words, by the time it reaches your home, it makes perfect sense. It's logical. And you're supposed to believe that it's cool. And the Palestinians are left to no other recourse but to blow kids up. Yeah, okay, man. You want to believe that? Fine by me. You'll pardon me if I don't join you in that little party. Anyway, there's a website where you can look at this piece of crap, this Yassin, this dried up, old, stinking, rotten old man. You remember him? He was in the wheelchair coming out of the mosque, and the Israelis hit him with a missile. Hoo-hoo, baby! They got the pictures of what was left. Anybody got a spoon? Oh, my God. Let me tell you what, one of the good things about this, I'm not telling you what the website is, I don't want children seeing this, but I will tell you this. On this particular website are also pictures of the remains of suicide bombers, many of them kids. And I'll tell you this, Yasin looks almost as good as those poor kids do. I mean, with all due respect to the families of those children, the horror of what happened to those kids, hey, couldn't have happened to a nicer guy than this old piece of crap. And apparently these photos got online because the Palestinians released them. Hey, what are you guys hoping to prove with that? This is not exactly what I call a dignified photo of death. I mean, there's a piece of his head over here. There's a leg, you know, the hands and everything. You don't even want to know. It's like, yes, our beloved leader. You got a picture of the guy with, like, half of his brain gone. Yeah, just laying there, the head on a gurney. I will tell you this much, seriously. The look on his face is priceless. It's like, huh? I mean, seriously, it's like the big bug-eyed, wait, are you telling me I'm actually going to see Allah now and I may not go to heaven? I mean, he's got a look on his face and he don't look happy. Good for you, Israel. Do it again. Do it again. We like it. We like it. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will continue after these brief messages. All right, we're back on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, I was thinking the other day, you know, I don't know why, but, oh, I know what it was. So I go over to Costco with my wife, and for those of you, whatever town you live in, I'm sure you have one of these large warehouse-style places. You know, what do you call it? Pick and Save, Costco, that kind of place? Big warehouse-style places where you get things for... It's not wholesale prices because the stuff is expensive, but they've got tons of it. Unless you want, like, potato salad, then they don't have any. I can't believe it. I went over to Costco. Nothing against you guys at Costco. I mean, I got a membership card and all that, and I love you. But on Super Bowl Sunday, I'm looking for potato salad, and you ain't got any? Huh? I mean, you got everything else. You got 9 million big-screen TVs. You got all those women that are handing out the food. You can go to Costco any day and eat lunch there for free. Just go to the sample lady.
Hello, would you like to try some chicken on a cracker?
Well, I certainly would. Thank you very much. And then there's another lady.
This is the sweet and sour salsa with the small aperitif.
Oh, that's great. Why don't they have that for booze? Hi, would you like to try a little shot of our, Don Julio Blanco? Well, don't mind if I do.
Yak.
And then you move on to the beer stand, and then you move on to they're giving out samples of, cube cheese on a cracker, whatever the hell they're giving out. You can eat for free at Costco any day. It's a great place, but you got to have a membership card to get in. Look at me doing a commercial for them. But if you're going to have a party, go over and you get all this stuff. So we went over there because we were having a party for, our kid. One of our eldest is graduating this year. And they just had their big stage production of Guys and Dolls. So we had a huge cast and crew party. All the kids come over, and we bought chicken, and we bought beans and rice, barbecue stuff, and we bought this and that. You think they touched any of that? No, they just touched the big bowls of M&Ms that we laid out. Because my son says, I want bowls of candy, also want licorice. This is what, teenagers today, they want candy, they want licorice, they want it now, man. And they want sex. But anyway, that I can't provide. Thank you very much. Did I tell you what happened last year? Oh, my God, this was good. One of the guys, I don't want to mention any names, Rudy, but anyway, I'm kidding. Anyway, one of the kids comes over. It's after this. We're having a party for these guys, right? They're high school seniors and juniors. This guy comes over because he's taken some kind of a massage class. So the kid shows up, pulls out of the trunk of his car a massage table. So, I didn't know this. I'm in the kitchen where the adults are, we're all quarantined in the kitchen. That's where the adults are. So, we're all sitting around talking, and everybody else is out doing whatever the hell. The kids are all over the place. Well, this kid pulls out this massage table, sets it up in one of the rooms, and I see a line of girls. They're in line, just kind of chatting, you know, leading someplace, but I don't want to lead into the can. There's Rudy giving massages. I go, dude, you can't be doing this. He goes, why? Don't you understand? If the word leaks back to the school, that you know, it's probably I'll probably be arrested for something. They're arresting parents for everything now. Don't you understand? Well, what don't you mean, Mr. Henry? You don't know what I mean. What do I got going on? I got a rub joint going now in my own place? And I go, by the way, man, I got to admire you. That's fantastic. If I'd only thought of that when I was in high school. Well, yes, sir, I'll take it down right now. Yeah, please do, okay? Because for all I know, the way that, you know, all these rules, the zero tolerance for what, you know, that zero tolerance for, you don't know what they're zero tolerance for. Just anything, man. You look cross-eyed at somebody, and they're going to call you a child molester or a bad father or a bad stepfather. Something's going to happen to me. Get that massage table and get it out of here. So this year didn't show up with a thing. So anyway, we're over at Costco, and I see this Tony Bennett collection. Now, I'm a guy, I appreciate all kinds of music. Like right now, my CD changer, this is what I got in my car. Led Zeppelin 4, The Best of Tony Bennett, AFI, Linkin Park, and I even got a Sheryl Crow CD in there because, yeah, okay, call me gay, but I happen to like some of her music. Sorry. So that's what I got in there. So I slapped that Tony Bennett in there, and I said to my wife, you know, we listened to this song. I said, now, you know something? This is why straight people don't ever make a convincing case about how much they love marriage. When's the last time, if ever in your life, I'm asking you guys right now, you heard a love song, but let's just say right now, contemporary music, when's the last time you heard a love song that mentions the words husband or wife? Yeah! You ain't never heard a love song that mentions the word husbands or wife, unless it's a country song and a guy's talking about beating his wife or throwing her down some stairs. I'm joking about that. Of course, I'm sure they're, you know, it's fine. But anyway, you don't hear that. You see, these straights, they're cracking me up. Everything with this, marriage that, marriage is ours, we belong, it's ours, it's our club, it's our thing, you can't have it, and they value, straight people value marriage about as much as a dog values a freaking bone, as in, I'll bury it and use it when I need it. They don't sing about husbands, what's wrong with that? Why can't you sing about how much you love your freaking wife? How come it's always got to be my baby, my squeeze, you're my everything, I love you too, you know, all of that crap, man. I don't even know the guy's singing about a chick, a guy, what's he singing about? All those cats, R. Kelly, all that soft jazz, it's just a lot of schmaltz, man, but there's nothing to substitute. They ain't singing about his wife, man. Sing about your freaking wife. I ain't talking about Eminem saying that he hates his wife. I'm talking about, you got that song? Here's the last time I heard the word wife in a song. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm sure you'll note the romantic intent behind it.
I love my daughter more than life in itself, but I got a wife that's determined to make my life live in hell. But
word.
I handle it well, given the circumstances I'm down.
Word.
So many chances, man, it's too bad, could have had someone else.
Yeah, there you go. That's Eminem, man. That's his soft-ass approach to marriage. Ha-ha-ha! Straight folks don't dig marriage any more than gay people do. I mean, it's just going to be, you know, gay folks are going to get married, and they will get married. Don't worry about it. You ain't going to stop it. Don't. Just stop. Just stop with your bull crap. By the way, the state of Massachusetts, in case you haven't heard, the state that gave us the ban on the Tropic of Cancer by Henry Miller, now a classic. The state that gave us the ban on Naked Lunch by William S. Burroughs, now a classic. The state that gave us the ban on Lady Chatterley's Lover by D.H. Lawrence, now a damn sure classic. Now they've gone one step toward banning gay marriage, a constitutional amendment. This is one of the dumbest things the American people have ever attempted, as led by our president. Now see, this just goes to prove to all you Democrats that this here Democrat, I'm on board with that gay marriage thing, so don't worry about it. Actually, I'm more liberal than John Kerry is. How do you explain that? I'm a damn liberal Democrat when it comes to that. And Kerry, that guy's got all the moxie of a gelded squirrel. That guy's sitting there saying, well, I'm in favor of civil union. Oh, okay, what's that mean? you don't want to come out and say he's in favor of gay marriage. Why? Because he ain't going to get elected, I guess. I guess he's afraid of it. So straight folks, they don't sing about their husbands or their wives in their straight songs. And I wonder why. I wonder why I never hear a woman say, I love the hell out of my husband. I never hear a guy say, I love the hell out of my wife. Why? I'll tell you why. Because it sounds lame. That's why. That's right. In today's culture, saying you love your wife is something that guys laugh at.
Sure. Yeah, right, sure. I know you love your wife. You love the way she does your shirts.
No, man, I love my wife. Get a load of him getting all corny. Come on, deal the cards. I love my husband. How about that in a freaking song, huh? Nah, it ain't in there, man. And I see the lines lighten up with all these jive people. They went on the internet and looked up all the lyrics. No, I'm talking about any song that has been out in the last 100 freaking years that was on top 40 radio that people know, that hum along to. They got all the CDs and they put it, you know, the ones I'm talking about that says wife or husband in it, as in I love her or him or it. It ain't there. It ain't there because it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing why? Because marriage, quite frankly, is seen as a joke. It's a freaking joke. You get married when you want to, and you don't when you don't, and you get divorced when you want to, and you don't when you don't, and you damn sure don't make some big deal out of it. So the next time all you gay folks, some straight jackass comes up to you and starts talking about how marriage is strictly their province, ask them the last time they sang a love song that mentioned the name husband, wife, anything like that. No, it's always something about my honey. Or it's, I'd like to get married. Someday we'll live together. You are everything to me. Ooh, someday we all gonna hang. You're my squeeze. You're my... Sometimes I listen to the tunes that my daughter listens to. I ain't talking about, like, real music. I'm talking about that stuff that was written by 40-year-old men to be sung by 20-year-old guys that's bought by 14-year-old girls. Yeah, that stuff. And I can't, you know, I don't know what I'm listening to, man. But anyway, that whole gay, and get a load of this. See, here's another thing. I could scream when I read stuff like this. Some guy is a teacher. He's a teacher in an elementary school. The teacher is asked by his students, hey, Mr. Schoenberger is his name, Jason Schoenberger. Is this Jason Schoenberger? Or is this the, which one is, oh, here it is, I'm sorry, I got the wrong one. Actually, now that I've screwed the guy's name up and now everybody's going to think he's gay, let me, Jason Schoenberger's gay. I made a mistake, I read the wrong name. Jason Schoenberger is actually a very good friend of Chris's. All right, no, it's another name in a story. All right, when I get back, I'll tell you this story and think about that. Think about the what song says, I love my husband, yeah? There ain't no song in there that says, I love my husband, unless it's sung by another guy. Oh, we don't want that, do we? I bet you if gay folks finally came out with a song, a love song, right, that says, I love my husband, as in I love another guy, the straight people would be going ape crap, right? But they couldn't write a song like that about loving like the husband as in a woman loving a man if you put a loaded shotgun to their thing. Their thing-ma-bob. Just to make it very kid-friendly. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Coming up is Phil's Mailbag. Always have a lot of fun reading the mail. And our email address is, if you want to get into Phil's Mailbag, phs@philhenryshow.com. phs@philhenryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Oh, I know why I was interested in this story, because it's right here in our backyard. I ain't heard nothing about this. Maybe the guy got reinstated. I hope so. There's a guy by the name of Ron Fennell. He was a middle school teacher, right, in Camarillo, California. Well, his 7th and 8th grade students recently asked him about a rumor that he was gay and had married his longtime partner in San Francisco. Now, these are 7th and 8th grade students. How old are they? They're 12, 13, maybe 14 years old. He's a social studies teacher. The kids ask him, if he was gay and he says, yes, it's true, I am. Speaking to young people of emerging self-consciousness. And I realize that for some people, what I just said just flies right over there. They don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Just suffice it to say that when you're 12, 13, 14, you ask a hell of a lot of questions about life. And this man is a social studies teacher of kids at that age. And when they asked him if he was gay and he had a longtime partner that he married, he said, yes, in fact, it is true. Well, since then, the parents of one of Mr. Fennell's students have pulled their kid out of his class. The father of another accused him at a public board meeting of pushing a pro-gay agenda. Can you believe this? At a time and a place where we need teachers more desperately than ever before, because as you can see, this father that accused him of pushing a pro-gay agenda is proof positive that we had idiots for teachers when he was growing up. And that we've got idiots for parents now, too. These poor kids are... I feel sorry for this generation of kids like I've never felt sorry for a generation before. I think kids today have got it tougher than any kid in the history of the world. They got imbeciles for parents, touchy-feely baby boomers who don't know what's up and what's down, throwing Ritalin at them when they haven't got any answers and they're too freaking lazy or stoned or drunk or stupid to do anything about it. We got parents that stick their noses into school board meetings. Let me tell you something about public schools, okay? Let me explain this. Yeah, I know your tax dollars went into it, but I got a newsflash for you, Charlie. So did mine. And so did a lot of guys whose kids don't go to public school, okay? Basically, you're getting a free education. So when you put your kid into a public school, by all rights, you ought to keep your big fat mouth shut and your nose out of the agenda. Because it's a free education that you're getting that is overseen by the Board of Education and by the people en masse of the state of California. What's screwing up our public schools more than anything else, is letting the private citizen who thinks he knows something about education and wouldn't know that green means walk if there was $1 million at the other end of the crosswalk. And this guy's going to the public board meeting, and he's saying things like a pro-gay agenda, because this cat was asked the question by his students, are you gay, Mr. Fennell? And he goes, yes, I am. But when we live in America these days, in some parts of America, this place is about as repressive as any aspect of Nazi Germany that you want to talk about. And it ain't the government that's doing it. It's some busybody, nosy, dumbbell parent. I want to know something. How come the parent that brought this up ain't named in this story, but this guy Fennell is? I'd like to know who the dumbass is that came to a public board meeting and said that because this man answered a question, an honest question asked by his young students, are you gay, Mr. Fennell? We hear you got married to your partner. And he says, yes, kids, I am, because he's a social studies teacher, that this guy is supposed to be out of a job now? Fennell has filed complaints against two imbecile teachers, accuses them of helping to spread the word among students about his homosexuality. So he was outed by some teachers, on top of everything else. Meanwhile, the Pleasant Valley School District has launched an investigation. Our intent is to make sure we have all the facts and preserve everyone's rights. We're not investigating an individual. We're certainly not investigating him because he's a homosexual. What they're having to investigate is the accusation by some dimbulb at a public school meeting that the guy's pushing a pro-gay agenda because he answered a question gave an honest answer, which these days is so refreshing. My God, somebody actually answered a question with truth? The whole episode, according to Fennell, started after Valentine's Day. He married his partner, Randy Sirach, his partner of 15 years. Pretty good track record as it goes among straight people. His colleagues at Monte Vista Middle School, including Principal Sarah Davis, knew that he was gay and had gotten married. They even congratulated him. But one teacher told her students about his marriage, and another remained silent while her students discussed it. Word spread quickly through the school. When Fennell got to his classroom that day, the students asked him. The kids walked in and there was a buzz about it. They said, we heard you got married on Valentine's Day. Is it true? I said, yeah. They asked, was it a man? I said, yes. They gave me a standing ovation. Then some kid started to mutter some stuff under his breath, and Fennell read the sexual harassment code out loud in a student handbook. He also used the opportunity to talk about suffrage, bigotry, and the Magna Carta. Oh, my God, not that. Not educating the kids about the Magna Carta. Their parents don't even know what the hell it is. You can't be sending kids home with information about the Magna Carta when his stupid old man's going to sit there with a can of beer and go, Magna what? Ain't that a beer? Yeah, that's right, man. It's a big 40 OZ. The Magna Carta from Bush. See, that's the world we're living in right now, man. You got teachers, they don't know which way to go. No wonder. What's the answer? More private schools and school choice? Get the freaking public schools working right by sticking their noses out of it. Good God Almighty, they worked good for a long time, man. Now, you got choice, right? So let's take the public schools and flush them right down the joint. Oh, what the hell am I talking about? Nobody cares. Who's listening to me? You want me to do some funny voices for you guys? Okay, when we come back, I'll have some more funny voices to do. And we're going to read from the mailbag. And, I don't know. I may get married to a guy on the air here in a few minutes. Hey, Mr. Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, but no one cares.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, what do you guys think about this one? Robert Greene is the CEO of Fraser Foods in Buena Park. He is very excited about the softball season beginning. Now, Fraser Foods has a team, like many companies do, and on Tuesday nights they play their biggest rival, last Tuesday their biggest rival, Canmore Foods, and they lost for the 10th time in a row to this Canmore Foods. Now, Mr. Greene was furious at five of his employees because they didn't show up for the game. Because at his company, it is mandatory not only to show up for work, but to play on the company's softball team. Even a lady by the name of Karen Garnett, who's a 57-year-old diabetic, he especially was angry with her for not playing because apparently in a game 2 weeks ago, he was running from first on a double. Karen waved him home because she was the third base coach. But when he got home, he had to slide. The catcher's knee hit the top of his head and ripped off, apparently, a $15,000 hairpiece. Anyway, let's listen to Robert Greene. He was on our show yesterday talking about how that chin guard, the knee guard, rather, rode his wig clean off.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I would like to discuss about your comparison with the military and the lady with the diabetes, okay?
Absolutely.
I have a father who has diabetes. And, you know, if he was to stand out in right field underneath a hot sun, he would probably have a heat stroke. What would you have done if a lady had went and she was out in the field and she had that heat stroke from her diabetes because she was too hot to play?
Well, two things,
but you think it's just a game.
No, hold on. There's two things. First of all, it's a 7 o'clock at night game. That's number one. But number two, I wouldn't want to see her get hurt. But
well,
by
that's
the same
you,
dose,
why did you suspend her then? Because she laughed at you? I mean, that's
were you there
a judgment
that
on your... I mean, if you're the person that tells everybody what they do, it's your fault you put her on third base to coach.
Ma'am,
it's your fault you ran. You should have known, you know.
That's no, she's the coach. If she's waving me home, the runner has to trust the coach because his back's
yeah,
to the
but,
play.
You know, comparing it to a military thing is totally ridiculous. See, I'm a softball softball player. If I had diabetes and I was a military soldier and I went up to my commander came to me and, you know, and he said, well, go shoot this person. And you say, and, you know, you look
and
at him and say, well,
no?
Sir, I don't think I can
bad. How patriotic are you? That's great. When that guy's knee went into $15,000 worth of hair weave, and I'm getting laughed at, and I know it's funny to you. I'm sure it sounds very funny.
Well, it is
know,
amusing.
I could really care less whether you had any hair or not. That doesn't make the difference
that
in
guy's,
what I'm talking
the
about.
The guy was wearing a shin guard that rode the wig.
Well, you know what? You know, I'm going to tell you something even more ridiculous. You know, once I got spider bit and all my hair fell out, but you know what? I got out there and I still had to do what I had to do, whether I got, you know,
well,
made fun of or not.
Charlotte, I'm not stupid. You're not going to drop dead because you ate a Snickers bar. Come on.
Look, you don't know about diabetes, obviously, Mr. Greene. Thank you, Charlotte,
well,
for your
you
call.
Know what?
Suppose everybody did laugh at you at home plate because the guy's knee hit your wig. You know, is it really wrong for people to laugh?
I don't think it's wrong for people to laugh, but here's this broken-down old diabetic, and I shouldn't call her that.
No, you should not call her that.
Well, Mr. Henry...
You should not call her a broken-down old diabetic. What, are you giving her a mercy job?
There's a lot of people out of work out there, and I took on this diabetic who's taking her breaks all the time to get her insulin. All I'm asking for is one lousy at-bat a week. And instead, she's coaching third, she waves me home, I take a knee to the head, which left me stunned, and when I came to, I'm laying there with no hair.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold!
And now, the Phil Henry Show mailbag. Mail we've received that we can actually read on the air. Because it's clean and it's not dull. Phil, you said if you were a talking head, you were going to wear an eye patch and smoke a pipe. What a letdown. Oh yeah, when I was on the Dennis Miller Show, he's right. But I wasn't a talking head, I was on a stinking panel. When they put my head in one of them boxes, R.C. Harpster... Assistant Manager Strickland Propane. Is this one of the guys who writes for the freaking King of the Hill show? Strickland Propane, that's Hank Hill's company. Anyway, once they put me on one of them Fox shows where I'm in the box, like there's three other boxes, I'll wear an eye patch. Phil, a few months back, Phil, you went on a rant about the atrocities going on in the Middle East and the foul tactics of the PLO using children as bombs. That broadcast had a deep effect on me. Being the product of the L.A. Unified School District, I had a fairly liberal education on world politics, but after your show that night, I began doing research on the subject. Lots of research. Now I find myself constantly defending Israel against people whose motivations seem nothing short of hateful, and I'm learning what it is like to suffer from something you believe in. I appreciate your show very much. John Blasey. Phil, I was at work listening to the Paul McNamara bit from Monday, and sometime during the last 5 minutes of the bit, I slipped with a power tool and smashed my finger. I wanted to stop and attend to my finger, but continued to laugh at Paul stating that for some reason men don't fear radiation and can walk into a nuclear meltdown and go, "Yeah, give me a cup of coffee." Thanks, Jeff in Carlsbad. Dear Phil, if Bush was so good, why did he ignore repeated warnings from Tenet and Clark? 9/11 happened a few days after Bush came back from taking the longest vacation in presidential history. God, who keeps track of that? The longest vacation in presidential history. Well, it was summer, but I guess that doesn't count. Let's face it, Bush was asleep at the wheel. This happened 9 months into his administration, and as Truman said, the buck stops here. Bush, Cheney, and Rice must be subpoenaed before the 9/11 Commission. What does this administration have to hide? If they have nothing to hide, they should testify under oath before the American people. Now the GOP is trying to discredit Mr. Clark. This man served admirably under four presidents, and he's a Republican. He has no credibility gap. Admirably? Freaking guy, there's like 9 million attacks. What is that? I guess he's a nice guy, but 3,000 plus bodies later, I don't think that's an admirable gig. You know, if I were you, Mr. Clark, can I suggest you work in the kitchen? Just handing out the little pudding cups?
Oh, okay.
I think that'd be good for you. Anyway, continuing with the letter. In closing, do a Google or Yahoo search on Marvin Bush. Marvin is the president's younger brother. At the time of 9/11, Marvin Bush was director of a company called Securicom. Securicom, three of that company's major clients on 9/11 were the World Trade Center, United Airlines, and Dulles Airport. Those are three of the sites hit on 9/11. Marvin Bush is now violating the Patriot Act by trading with a Saudi bank that was the main source of Al-Qaeda funding for 9/11. Most of that bank's assets were supposed to be frozen per the Patriot Act. Do some research on the whole Bush family. It's like shooting fish in a barrel to find illegal activity on the Bush brothers. P. Nadeau, Miami Carey Volunteer, Coral Gables. Ah, bullcrap. Man, Phil, I caught your tequila bit and it perked me up. Me and my wife have had about 92 different brands of tequila tonight. I'm joking. 92 different brands of tequila. Right now, my cabinet has about 55 bottles, only four unopened yet. And believe it or not, we are not alcoholics. But when I empty a bottle of El Tesoro, it's time to buy another. Recommendations. Any Espolon, Milagro Anejo, Cava Antigua, Porfirio Reposado, Safaranco, I can go on and on, but you get the idea. Stay away from Patron and Cabo Wabo. Well, no kidding, dude. Both are watered down, I know, because I left a shot of each out overnight and woke up to find them half-filled and it was water. Thanks for bringing the subject up, Gary. Maybe somebody emptied out your tequila bottles, man, and put water in them. Hey, Phil, I love the Eddie Van Halen bits. To answer your question from Friday, Eddie should not be allowed to be the lead singer in VH because of his disability. He actually tried it on the last album by singing How Many Say I. You know what is funny? You singing Hot for Teacher as Eddie with no tongue actually sounds better than Eddie singing For Real on that garbage of a song. Eddie, do you hear that?
You know something, man. I believe it on the comment.
All right, I'm just telling you. You want to laugh for your show? Play the song How Many Say I on the Air. Dedicated listener, Houston Caldwell, Lake Norman, North Carolina. That's our mailbag on a Phil Henry show. I mean, the guy has said it sucked, right?
No, song didn't suck at all. It's pretty good.
Yeah, well, he says it sounds better than you now with no tongue, man.
I don't give a crap with some... You know, the Bubba guys go to the last shows. They've been buying me the merchandise.
What difference does it make if they buy merchandise, man? They're still fans. Oh, I see. He doesn't buy any of your merchandise, so then he can't be much of a fan, huh?
Well, and you know, look, I look, I'm doing this for my health.
No, obviously you weren't. Eddie Van Halen just told me to go to the H place. Eddie, why are you getting mad, man?
You're making fun of the guy who got down the pub.
I'm not making fun of you. I got you on the radio. If I was making fun of you, man, I wouldn't have you on the air, but I'm having you speak for yourself, such as it is.
Oh,
that was just a little joke, man. Speaking of tequila, look, I don't claim to be... Look, I just know what good tequila is, but I haven't tried it all. The guy's absolutely right. Patron is good tequila for gringos. As a matter of fact, it's now time for Tequila Talk on the Phil Henry Show. So what's the stuff this guy was writing about? Milagro Añejo, or Eddie Milagro is really good stuff, but the Añejo is the S. Well, no doubt Añejo is the S of any, you know, brand of tequila. I've never had Milagro, but I will try that. Now, I have heard of course, we've all heard of Perfidio. I don't like Reposado. It's like either get the Añejo and a Blanco to Reposado, whatever, man. It's like aged. Reposado is 8 months to 2 years, and for me, it's... somewhere in between really great and real pooey, I think is the word I want to use. Anyway, the guy mentioned Patron and Cabo Wabo. Not to knock, hey, Eddie.
What do you got?
Well, I was just going to say that Sammy's tequila tastes like poo, so, you know.
Yeah, now that I have Mac Lee singing and Mac got tequila, thank a lot.
Whatever, man. Anyway, Cabo Wabo, I don't dig it, and I don't know where it got the rep as being so fantastic, because, you know what I'm saying, it's... it ain't bad, but it's not the best. Not even close to it. I think that was... Cabo Wabo was named like number one or number two of Mexico's best tequilas by the Mexican Tourism Board. Because I think they want to get people down there to Sammy's Joint. It's a great bar, and it ain't a bad tequila. I'm just saying it's not the best I've ever had. As far as Patron goes, they're getting far too much money for that. When you guys go into a restaurant and their top shelf tequila is Patron, what they're basically saying is this: you're a gringo, you don't know the difference. We just know you've heard the name Patron and you think it's great, so we'll serve you that. Believe me, Patron is far from the best, okay? Most of those places you go into, that's their top shelf tequila because it's gringo stuff. It's not bad, it's just not the... you want the best? You get that Tesoro Paradiso if you like that cognac flavor. You get yourself some Don Julio Añejo if you like the good straight jazz. And, yeah, I'd say some of that. Porfirio, by the way, has now a cognac blend. I had it the other night over at a very nice restaurant out in T.O. called 2087 Bistro. 2087 Bistro. Go on in and say hello to Johnny, the bartender. Johnny's a great guy, and he had this stuff. He says it's the last bottle that he has, and they don't make it anymore. Yeah, sure, Johnny. Nice try. He's probably got about 600 bottles in the back. Boy, this is the last drop, Phil, and it's only 110 a shot. Here, try some. Meanwhile, they're unloading another 18 cases. But it was very good. It's Porfirio, and it's a cognac-style tequila. And I don't remember the name of it. Please forgive me. This has been Tequila Talk. I'm Clint Eastwood. We'll be right back on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And now Phil Hendry's movie recommendations. And they're all old ones. You guys ever seen this flick Living in Oblivion with Steve Buscemi? Have you seen Steve Buscemi on The Sopranos? What happened to him? I mean, that's nothing. I mean, you're a great actor, Steve, but Jesus, eat a little something. I don't know, just like a banana, some Chex Mix or something. Cat looks bad. Think he lost a lot of weight for that part? Yeah, he must have. He's that kind of actor. One of them, what do they call it, method guys? Loses a lot of weight. What was it, De Niro put on that weight for Raging Bull? Did you ever see that flick? That dude put on, what, 40 pounds? It completely changed him. It was scary. So it looked like Buscemi might have lost a lot of weight. Anyway, you got to see this movie called Living in Oblivion. And he plays the director of this little independent movie. And I just watched it again for the, 900th time the other night. And it's hysterical. And he also, there's an actor in it, I think the guy's name is pronounced James LaGrosse or LaGrosse. This guy's unbelievable. He plays this Brad Pitt-style, big-time star who's consented to be in this little, tiny, crappy movie that this guy's making, right? And the guy's just a pain in the thing. Hold on for a minute.
FCC.
Can I say thing?
No.
All right. So that's a cool flick. You ought to see that one. Then you got to go back and see Lonesome Dove again, because that was awesome. In fact, Mark and I were just talking about it. And for a TV miniseries, geez, that thing was fantastic. One of the best damn westerns you're ever going to see. You don't have to go to the movies to see all that other stuff, man. You don't have to go see Clint. Just go see Lonesome Dove. In fact, I'd go see Lonesome Dove before I saw The Passions of the Jesus, or whatever it's called. The Jesus of the Passion? Too much freaking violence for one man. You know, speaking of the Passion of Christ, guess who's complaining about it? You got it, the frogs. What seems to be their major malfunction over there? Ain't there anything over there they dig? And don't tell me Jerry freaking Lewis. Is there anything that gives them a couple of laughs over there? Or is everything over there just stoic, dead serious, man? Have a couple of giggles, baby. Watch the cat get nailed up on the boards, man. It's, it's inspiring. Oh, they're all upset. Guess why? Because it's going to inspire anti-Semitism. France is like the capital of anti-Semitism. I mean, seriously, they have got such a serious problem with anti-Semitism that the government won't even acknowledge that it exists. They got synagogues getting blown up, burned down, something every single day of the year over there, and they don't want to have that movie because they're afraid it's going to encourage anti-Semitism? They don't like Jews over in France any more than they like Americans. So anyway, they got a big problem, and there's protests, and there's this, and there's that. You want to know why they're protesting it? Because it was made by an American director, if you can call Mel Gibson American. Well, he is, isn't he? Was he born in Australia? What's this story, anyway? Born in Australia, Jersey. Moved to Tasmania? What?
He was born in Jersey, and he moved to Australia.
He was born in Jersey, and then he moved to Tasmania, and now he's just a little devil. He was born in Jersey, he was a Tasmanian devil, and now he's a Jersey devil? Okay. So they got a problem with that. So you might want to go see the movie about 6-7 times because he ain't going to make no dough out of France, that's for sure. You know, that big 500 theater opening he's having over there. Hey, man, what? Have you ever been to France? First of all, any rock and roll that comes out of France. Come on, tell me about one band that's ever come out of France that's a rock band. They don't believe in rock and roll. Why? It's American. Okay, name me a hip-hop guy that's come out of France. Name me somebody that's a rapper that's come out of France. Name me one good jazz artist that's come out of France. Name me one good French singer that's come out of France. Oh, you mean, what's his name? Charles Aznavour? All right, anyway, I'm done. Man, am I done. What'd you say, Chris? Hold on for just a minute, because I think I got a news flip. Oh, Milli Vanilli, they were French. Oh, I'm sorry.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.